Brought to you by the Greek Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Our God is coming. Be prepared. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. You like the way I slowed it down?
Yes.
I slowed everything down.
That was very good.
Because we were all wound up with our telephone connections.
Yes.
To our guests. Are our guests there? Mary Alice and Father, are you there?
Hi, John.
All right,
hi,
guys.
Father.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
How are you?
We're fine.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's an honor and a pleasure.
And we have to tell everybody that this is Listen Up.
Jesus is on the air.
That's
Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
He gets a little wound up, Father. And there really isn't too much we can do about him. I tried a little funny jacket, you know, where you strap the hands around him.
Yeah, you made it too tight.
But it didn't work.
You made it too tight. I couldn't take it. Too tight.
Listeners, we have Father Bill McCarthy from his father's house in Moodis, Connecticut. And we also have... Mary Alice Rossini, who works with Father, and we're so happy that the two of you are here. We want to thank you for being here, first of all. Are you there again?
John, we also have a guest here, Mary Ellen Vincenzo, the mother of a priest. She just hopped in this morning, and we invited her to sit with us.
What's his name?
Mary Ellen Vincenzo.
Alan Vincenzo, good.
Oh, okay.
And where is Father from?
Good morning. Yeah, her son is a priest in Connecticut.
Okay.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Father, we were going to have you start by talking to our listeners about finding ways to listen to God, and that God will talk to you if you listen to him. Maybe you can, it sounds weird and crazy, but maybe you can tell our listeners more about that.
Yeah, I just want to preface that. You know, that's a very dynamic and important subject. I get inquiries often from people that tell me that they're trying to converse with Jesus. They're trying, but they just can't do it. What do I have to do? Well, you know what you have to do? You have to stick to it, and you have to clear your mind. But you may have some better suggestions, Father. But there are people out there that have a keen interest in trying to journal with Jesus in one way or another.
Maybe you can tell us, Father, what's in your little booklet. Are you there?
Listening to God.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that I say, the most oft-repeated theme of scriptures that God talks to us. It's been there 20,000 times. The Bible says, the Lord said to Adam, the Lord said to Eve, the Lord said to Cain, over and over again. So God speaks to us. God speaks to us today through the church, through the new catechism, through the Bible, through our parents, through valid science, through signs and symbols, but also he speaks to us from within, through our consciousness, through our thoughts. So the great insight is that at our baptism, Jesus came to live in our spirit. We ask ourselves, well, what does he do down there all day?
I like that. What is he doing down there all day? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Father.
And the answer is he graces us. He puts his thoughts into our mind and his desires in our heart so that we may think as he inspires us to think and love as he inflames our heart to love. So God's speaking to us all the time from without and from within. And the best way to pray is the way that Jesus taught us in the Our Father. There are five principles of the Our Father. Praise and worship, hallowed be thy name, to seek God's plan, to seek his will, your kingdom come, your will be done, the secret provision, you give us our daily bread, especially the Eucharist. He purifies our heart. He forgives us that we forgive, especially if we go to confession. And he protects us. He leads us not into temptation, but he delivers us from all evil.
So, Father, what you're saying is that Jesus talks to us in many different ways. And I guess we have to be alert and have to be cognizant of the fact and discern the fact that Jesus is actually talking to us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now,
even if it feels like you're nuts.
We have to learn how to be still.
Yep.
You have to learn and clear your mind out of all the nonsense going on and all the busyness and stuff like that, I guess.
In my book, I show two ways of learning how to be still and listen. One, by keeping a spiritual journal. The other, by praying the New Testament under the anointing of the Spirit. And I give certain steps. The first is to get quiet with God. You go to a quiet place, in a chapel, or even in your own Jesus chair, which I encourage everybody to have in their home, quiet corner to pray. And then just to quiet down and just say an act of contrition, that the Lord would purify any unforgiveness and any guilt in your own heart. And then just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then the Lord will tell you which page to open to if you're reading the Bible, or he'll tell you how to keep a spiritual journal. But the insight is that God does speak to us through our thoughts. So the first inspired gifts of the Spirit are all thought gifts. Inspired wisdom, understanding, knowledge, prophecy, counsel, and discernment. That God speaks to us most often through our conscience, through our thoughts. In today's reading, it said, the Lord will direct us from behind in the way in which we should go. By inspiration.
Now, Father, yes. You mentioned...
It says, just this morning it said, the Lord will give you the bread you need and the water from which you thirst. No longer will your teacher hide himself, but with your own eyes you shall see your teacher, while from behind a voice shall sound in your ears. This is the way, walk in it, when you would turn to the right or to the left. And that's God's word, saying that God himself will speak to us. And we will also see him, walk with him.
Now, you mentioned discerning. Now, I mentioned that to people about discerning, when if you get something, ideas, or get something from the Bible, or if you get anything and you ask God and you ask Jesus to discern it, to give me some evidence of it. So how is this discerning work? I mean, it's not a set pattern, is it?
No.
So how do people discern that they're really talking to Jesus?
This is Mary Ellen speaking.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
I just want to interject something here. There's one way, many ways that the Lord speaks to me in my heart, and without me even realizing, until all of a sudden I say, gee, I never knew that before. One of the ways is through nature. I do a lot of driving. I just do a lot of on-the-road driving. And so many times the Lord will say to me, see that small leaf, the newest leaf on the tree, the one that's at the very top? That's the one. That one is the smallest one, and that would not be there unless I willed it so that I provided that for your vision. But he tells me that it's not only the leaves on the trees, but the drops of water in the ocean or in the river. There's a Connecticut River that runs very, very many miles here in Connecticut, and I go across it probably at least 6 or 7 times a day from different parts. And I will say, Lord, may every drop of water in that river be the number of times that you are praised this day through the hearts and the love of other people. And I just have such a sense of the Lord saying, thank you. And I say, you're welcome, and I keep driving.
And you also have his peace in you as you're dealing with those words, aren't you?
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's how you discern. That's answering Tony's question. Somehow or other, God's peace rises up in you. That's really the way.
Can I give you
an example, Father? I know you're our guest, but I just, you taught me through your book, Listening to God, how to approach and journal with God each day. And just this morning, just to give listeners a very simple example of what happens, I went with one of the responsorial psalms at Mass. Great is the Lord, and mighty is his power. To his wisdom there is no limit. The Lord sustains the lowly. The wicked he casts to the ground. Now, that's just a little piece of scripture. And then I got quiet, like you say, Father. I quieted my inner voice. And here's what I heard, and here's what I wrote. Come, dear friend, just be with us in our sacred space in your being. Allow our love to awaken you joyfully. Be refreshed by our true presence in your heart, your soul, and your mind. Come alive as we start your new today in our forever in love, in our kingdom within the core of your being. And he goes on. There are no roadmaps to get you here. You simply will you to follow us beyond time, spiritually. And we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, accept your internal surrender. And you then come to us. You simply will you to follow us. And that's all you have to do. That's just a piece.
That's beautiful, John.
But that's... I know that's what Father is talking about in that relationship. And is that not what you're saying?
Yes. And also we have to learn how to discern his voice.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I hear something? John and I were talking before the show about our old age, so to speak. And we're all getting up there in years.
I'm 103 today, Father. Isn't that wonderful? Today's my birthday, 103 years, and you wouldn't know it.
It came to thought in my mind, you know, how much longer are we going to be allowed by Jesus to do the things we're doing? I just turned to Psalm 92 just now as you were talking, John, and I got, they shall still bring forth fruit in their old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing.
Well, so fat I got.
That means we're going to continue, John.
Okay.
That's our discernment.
That's the way God spoke to you through Scripture.
Speaks to me many times through Scripture and pictures.
And I get words in prayer. And Mary Alice and Father and the other woman up there, Mary Ann, I believe. You all are touched. You're touched through nature. Mary Alice, how does God talk to you?
Oh, that's interesting, John. As a matter of fact, I've had a very interesting couple of years here because God is saying in my heart, Mary Alice, that wall has to come down. Mary Alice, that window has to be opened up. Mary Alice, this has to be renovated. And it's funny because we have a plan, but it doesn't work. But when God whispers in your heart and you know it and it just happens, just happens. The work gets done. Everything's more functional. So he's using the gift that I have and other people here to renovate my father's house in preparation. He has a plan here. We're not quite sure what it is, but we're just following it one step at a time. And we know when it's finished that the fruit of that we see the reactions of the people, they seem to enjoy themselves more here. They seem to have a private space that they can now go to and converse with people. We certainly are looking also on cutting down the amount of heating bills we have. So the Lord has even inspired us to do that.
And he's giving you orders. He's giving you orders in your heart.
Amazing, because we had this big refrigerator, and it was like a walk-through refrigerator. And we had to take it out because the floor underneath needed to be repaired, and we couldn't put it back. So now we were left with a huge room that nobody knew we had all the space, and we're looking at it. And today we're sitting in that as we talk to you, and it's called our Marion study room. And we have a nice gas fireplace. It's very cozy. It's nice, fluffy couches and chairs, and it's just a perfect study room. But we didn't put this together. God did.
And he validates the words in you by having what he tells you to do happen. Is that true?
And he also has David here. David is our foreman, and he's very, very talented. And so I'll go to him, and I'll say, I had a dream last night. Can you do an arch? And he goes, sure. He takes a pencil, he draws an arch, and cuts it out. So, I mean, that guy's putting everybody in the right place, giving the plan. And in the ultimate long term, we don't know what his plan is here, but we know it's exciting because we're excited seeing these things emerging. But it's part of a bigger plan.
And he gave you a dream. So there's another way he's speaking to you. Father, how does he speak to you?
Well, other ways, he speaks to us directly if we meditate upon the scriptures or in conjunction with the word of knowledge. I speak to us in visions, in dreams, in signs and symbols, in creation, as Mary Ellen has said, to her heart, as Mary Alice has said, to the circumstance of life. But also, I would say, mainly to our own thoughts, our own conscience. That's a great insight, that the mind is the receiver of God's messengers. And God speaks to us externally, to others, to the Pope, to the bishops, the new catechism, to the liturgy, to the reading of the Holy Mass, but also to our own thoughts.
I'll bet, Father, there are listeners who say that they heard a sermon at Mass, and that priest was speaking directly to them. I'll bet that happens.
It happens to me.
And Father, you mentioned word of knowledge. What do you mean by word of knowledge?
I mean a thought, an insight that comes into your mind when either you're driving along or in your prayer, especially when you just get quiet and all of a sudden these insights come into your mind. In fact, we teach people to keep a spiritual journal, but also to make a holy hour. And during the holy hour, you open yourself to three sources of inspiration. First of all, the prophetic flow, the thoughts that just come into your mind. Now, don't think of something too spiritual. I just mean the thoughts that the people are thinking or listening to us. God is speaking to us through my voice, through Mary Alice's voice, through Mary Alice's voice, through your voice, but also through their own thoughts. And those insights that come to us that tell us to be more loving, tell us where to go, tell us to stop worrying, don't be afraid, do this, repent of this, say hello to somebody. These thoughts that come to us all the time. For example, a mother in raising her children, she can count upon the graces of the sacrament. That God will tell her how to raise her children, how to teach them to pray, how to teach them to obedience. Through these insights that just come into your mind, through the thoughts.
It's so simple, is what
so
you
simple.
Say.
Ah, so simple. Father, Mary Alice, and I think Father Allen is the other guy.
No, Mary Ellen.
What got you guys started in knowing and starting to journal or converse with Jesus? How did it all start? Just for the benefit of our novice that are listening, that are so anxious to get started, how did it start for you guys?
I know with me, I went through a lot of struggle in a period of my life.
This is Marianne?
Mary Alice.
Okay.
Get the name right, Palmer.
Oh,
he's old. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, Mary Alice.
Right. But the Lord said, take the paper and a book and start writing out what's going on inside of you. Dealing with the trauma, the feelings, and everything else, start writing them out. And, you know, I get like halfway through the book writing these things out. And all of a sudden, I would stop, and a still, small voice started. And I started writing it down. I'm with you. And really giving me encouraging. It was going on for about 2 or 3 years. And I'd go through those books, and I would write out the message that God was saying directly to me. And also the little insight that he was giving me. So that went on, and I knew that was the Lord speaking because it all bore fruit. It bore fruit because my life calmed down. I was able to see clearly on where to go, taking the next step. So I knew that the fruit was there, that that was God's direction. And even today, although it doesn't happen as frequently, if I need direction, I'll sit there in the chapel, like John said, and start writing, and then listen to what the Lord says through that. You know, so and I just want to also give a witness on how Father, the Lord speaks with him. We went to visit someone, a family member in a hospital, and as we got there, we were told we couldn't go in because there was a commotion going on in the unit that the person was in. And it was, you know, kind of like a tense hour that we had to sit there. I was panicking because I said, oh, no, it's probably my relative, you know. And anyway, Father just quietly sat there and wrote down something on a piece of paper. And he gave me the paper, and it said, the person is fine. It's going to be okay. And when I read that, peace came in my heart. And so I know that God really spoke to Father about the situation and calmed myself down. So that's one of the ways that Father, God has spoken to Father.
And that's a word of knowledge.
It was a word of knowledge, and it was very powerful and needed at yes. that time.
So do you discern all the conversations that you have, or do you just accept whatever conversations you have that they're from Jesus?
Well, we have to discern it. I gave people different tests. First of all, the Jesus test.
The Jesus test. I love that.
Can I picture Jesus saying this? In other words, is it according to the nature and personality of Jesus as I know him? Secondly, is it according to the teaching of the church? Is it something that resonates with the official teaching of the catechism? Is it biblical? Is it according to the teaching, especially of the New Testament? Or does it contradict one of them? Does it give me a sense of inner peace? Or am I kind of unraveled by the, kind of a sense that, oh, no, that's not God. That's the Ignatius principle, the consolation and desolation. And then if it's telling me to do something, walk through a door, the door is opening. And then a wise counsel, if it's something big in my life, shall I become a priest or shall I marry this person? We should have someone that we can talk to, our spiritual director, or even a friend of the Lord. And if you're married, it would be your spouse. Can I talk it with them, and can that resonate with them too? So those are some of the principles I list in my book, Listening to God.
Can you say them again, Father? First of all, it was, is it consistent with Scripture? Is it consistent with your knowledge of what our religion teaches? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
yeah, the Jesus test, the Scripture test, the Church test, the wise counsel test, the peace test, the circumstance test.
Okay.
That God makes it very clear. Usually, if it's something sinful or if it's something hateful, that's certainly not of God. Mm-hmm. And Satan does harass us, especially when we're trying to pray.
Mm-hmm.
We put distracting thoughts. But we can get rid of them simply by praising God for them.
Now, it's interesting. One of the things that go hand in hand with listening to God and being in a ministry, such as you and Tony have, John, and we have here and other people have, is the spiritual warfare that comes with that. And God teaches us how to pray, how to come close to him through that spiritual attacks that are coming at us, and that's all used to strengthen us, and then so that when the lock is out of our eyes, we can turn around and we can help other people. I've been reading scriptures this Advent season, and the person I'm following talks about the need for a Savior, and yeah, Christmas is a celebration, but in order to get to the celebration, we have to get to the point where we're desperate and we need the Savior. So when we start out, then we should be desperate, you know, all calling out for help, Lord, come, you know, save us. So these are all the ways that God is speaking in a general sense and also individually and an individual need.
You know, I can go into adoration, and listeners, that's just coming before Jesus in a monstrance and on the altar. And I can be all wound up, and I can be upset, and I can be angry or whatever. But when I finish being there, even no matter what happens during that time, I almost can bet on the fact I'm going to leave in peace. Doesn't that happen to you, Tony? It
happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
And even if I do adoration, not even in the church, when at that time I did it in Montauk on the Bay.
Yeah.
And I got complete peace.
And that's such a, you know, people don't understand that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. I love it in Scripture. He knows when you sit and when you stand. And he knows just what you need
yeah.
at each moment.
Now, that's a great point. Isn't it so wonderful that our God, our creator of the universe, his Son, wants to be so close to us that he wants to talk to us and converse with us? Isn't that so beautiful? And Father, and Mary Alice, and Alan, do you have any suggestion to our listeners, those that are yearning to talk with Jesus? What's the first thing they should do to get going with it? Because I know Jesus is waiting to talk.
I would like to interject something here. This is Mary Ellen speaking.
Yes, Mary Ellen.
I have the privilege of being able to spend many hours in the Adoration Chapel, and the Lord has taught me something very beautiful. Because of being an intercessor, you want to pray for this one who's sick or this one who's dying or needs a job or whatever. And I go into the chapel and my heart feels like it's so full, it's going to just spill over. And I sit there before the Blessed Sacrament and I hear him saying to me, be quiet, just open your heart. I see everything. And I know everything.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah, I have the actual awareness, if you can explain it that way, that there's like a zipper on my heart. I pull down the zipper, and everybody's name and need go before him right there. He's right there. And then I have a sense of peace. And then he'll say to me, go forth. There's more people I want you to see or I want you to talk to. So I've already given him all that, and he assures me that, you know, it's his business. It's his graces. It's his love that draw people into a healing place. It's not anything I do. So it's really a wonderful, awareness that he gives me, and I love it. So I think that is how he talks to me.
You know what I get a kick out of? Because many times people will say to me, how come God doesn't do what I want him to do? I love that because I've asked him that in prayer, and he said, you know, I really have to thank you for your advice, but actually I don't need your advice. I know what I'm doing, and I'm sorry if I'm not going to do what you want on schedule, but... You know, listen to me and try to follow what I'm telling you. Let my wisdom come in. And I may not always do what you want, but I certainly know how to lead you the way that's best for you. I love that because I'm such a know-it-all. And I tell God all the time.
What makes you say that?
I tell God all the time what I want him to do.
Oh, my God.
And he has the nerve not to do what I want him to do. Isn't that terrible? Father, I'm going to confession. Can you forgive a know-it-all Palmer?
He wants to forgive him. He said, know-it-all.
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, but what about a big know-it-all? He's not just a little know-it-all. He's a big know-it-all.
This comes from 4 years of us working together. But, you know, Mary Ellen, I know what you say, that when you pray for people, things come out, and many times I'll say something to a person who's going for a PET scan for cancer, and I'll say, you know, I have a sense in my heart that you're clear of cancer, that you don't have cancer, and they go for the test, and it comes back clear, and they say, how did you know? I said, I didn't know. I don't even remember saying that, you know, but That's what Father did with that word of knowledge when you were there with him, Mary Alice. Remember?
That John, was... I experienced that from you. We were praying once as a team and a healing team. And you prayed over me and you said something about, I don't know what this means, but there's like a cloak over your head. and I just myself, okay, there's a cloak over my head. But the Lord showed me that that's the mantle of Blessed Mother. And every day, that is a prayer. Blessed Mother, put your mantle of protection over myself, my children, all that's in and around me, and everywhere I go. And so that was the mantle of Blessed Mother, and I always think of you when I pray that prayer.
Oh, okay.
Because I've given that word, and you said, I don't know what this means, but you have a cloak over your head.
And I don't even remember that. I really don't remember. Last year, the doctors thought I had cancer in the urinary tract, you know, what do they call that? Prostate cancer, right? And I kept hearing in prayer, no, you don't have prostate cancer. You don't. And I kept hearing it, but I kept on saying, these doctors know what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And he says, but I know what I'm doing. You don't have... Oh, come on. Maybe I have a little bit. They sent me for a biopsy, and Tony came with me when I had the biopsy, and I knew
he was such
out.
A baby. Such a baby.
I waited and waited, but what I'm really trying to say is I doubt the words when it applies to me. And then all of a sudden, I was waiting now for these doctors to call, and I said, okay, Lord. And he kept saying, you don't have cancer. The doctor calls. And he said, you know, I really believed you had cancer. I ran the test twice just to make sure I didn't make any mistakes. You don't have cancer. And you know what I heard inside of me? I told you so. I told you.
You could tell the doctor you had a second opinion.
That's right. You know? But, you know, sometimes when we're getting stuff that's at odds with the way we think God should respond, we have to learn to listen. And listen and follow what he's saying and accept what he's saying. I think that's...
Sometimes that puts us out on a limb by ourselves with God.
I know.
Because you get strengthened by that. You know, that people might be saying one thing, but if you know in your heart and God's saying it, and you stay out on that limb, God is going to really put a blessing on that.
Yeah.
And his blessing on it. That's a beautiful example, John.
Well, it's a true example. And if one thing we're into on this radio show is we tell the truth. And people ask us, you know, like I ask you all the time. How do I know it's God? Mm-hmm. And I had an answer from Father de Grandis. He said, if it's God, he'll repeat it again and again and again and again in you, and you will have peace. And if it's not God, you won't have peace. And if you're fortunate, you won't hear it again.
No. Right. The truth is that the Lord will never tell us something one time. I always tell many people I talk to, I say, if you heard it 50 times, you might hear it 100 times. But by the 101st time, you'll really hear it. But God never stops if it's something he wants us to hear. And it comes back and back and back. And we have to praise him for that. Because he doesn't get impatient like we do.
Outside of the fact when he says, listen, stupid, I am talking.
But God of Jesus is very consistent.
You know, we have a song that deals with what we're talking about. And it's by Palmer Pascal. You remember Palmer, Mary Alice? And the song is, did you talk to him today?
Did you talk to him today? Did you say what's in your heart? Did you tell him things that are tearing you apart? Did you think to ask his help? Well, you know you really should. you talk to him today? Well, you know, you really could.
People don't believe that.
Did you talk to him of loss? Did you tell him of your pain? Did you tell him what it cost? Did you ask him to explain? Did you question why it is heaven seems so far away? All the answers wait for you. It's a simple thing to do. Did you talk to him today? Did you ask how long it takes to rejuvenate a song? Who is weary of the world? Surely life can take a toll. Did you wonder? He hears everything you say. Did you talk to him today? Did you say what's in your heart? Did you tell him of the things that are tearing apart? Did you think to ask his help? Well, you know, you really should. He is waiting on the way. Did you talk to him today? Well, you know,
and isn't that what we've been talking about?
Absolutely.
You can sit down and talk with him about anything. And you may not know this, Father, but Palmer died of cancer. And that song was written during her time of trials. And I'm sure she spoke to God many times with tears in her heart. You know, Father, I can't tell you how much I appreciated your booklet, Listening to God. How could people get a hold of that?
Write to us here, Post Office Box 22, Moodus, Connecticut, 06469. Or look us up on the internet, www.myfathershouse.com. You'll be in contact with us. You get our regular phone number, which is 860-873-1906. Also, John, there's one thing I really think is important, that God gave to three groups of people the infallible prophetic anointing, the prophets, the writers of scriptures, and the poets. I think that's very, very important. Just suppose that every non-Catholic Christian and every Christian leader got together when Pope John Paul came to this country and said, no more abortion. And they all unanimously said to all their people, no more abortion. We'd have no more abortion in this land if every Christian stood against it. But suppose when he said, you know, marriage is one man and one woman. I think it's so important that we listen to the infallible prophetic anointing of the Pope, that because so many non-Christians are loyal and united to the Pope, even some priests are not united with him, they fall into ways that are errorous and even sinful. And then you got to follow the inspiration that God gives to the bishops, especially as the body bishop, and to the priest. I think it's so important that children obey their parents, that every kid on drugs has heard from their parents tens of thousands of times, don't take drugs. But obedience is so important, obedience to all lawful authority, to the Pope, the Bishop, the Priest, the Church, the New Catechism. I think that's so important that people come under that. If we had a united Christianity, not just in Jesus and me, but Jesus working through us, the Church.
Isn't that what the Pope and the prelate from the Greek Orthodox Church were talking about last week, Sunday, on television? And I love what the Greek prelate said. We're all arguing about our differences, but yet in the Middle East, there are Christians of all denominations spilling their blood for unity in God's love. Wow. Mm. Wow. And go ahead, Tony.
Father, could you just quickly give us the name of the book again so those that may have missed the name so that they can track it down?
Listening to God.
Listening to God. And that phone number that you mentioned, 873?
1906.
1906?
Yeah.
And what's the area code?
The area code is 860-873-1906.
Great. 860-873-1906. You got it, people? Write it down. Get that book. It's a great book.
It really is. And I asked Father how long it took him to write the book, and he may not want to answer now, but he said years.
I believe it.
Years. And it's so direct and so simple to follow. And anyone who really wants to have a conversation with God.
It's God's gift to us.
Yes.
That he's the creator of the universe, and he's willing to talk to us individually and personally. I think that's beautiful.
And Mary Alice and Father and Mary Ellen, we have, on our program, we have some commentary on Sunday's scripture, and we also have a saint of the day. And if you want to just hang on with us for a while, we're going to move into that now.
John is going to give the commentary. He speaks better than I do. I'm from Brooklyn.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him. At peace, and that's from Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. These things which St. Peter refers to is a world and a time governed by the Lord's justice. This is the promise of God, a time when his justice will reign over the earth. 2 points to meditate on here. First is the time that Peter describes when there will be peace, the time we anxiously await for. And the question that's brought up is, are we content with the status quo in which mankind's life, separate or apart from God, is accepted as the norm? God promises new things and new way of living, but it seems we have grown used to and accustomed to, and maybe even prefer, the better state of things. Once we realize that we truly prefer and want God's way to reign rather than godless men's ways, then we have to wake up and change. And this is the second point for meditation. Peter's words indicate that we can only be at peace when we own up to what is wrong and sinful inside of us and seek then the way of God, conversion. The Advent season is the time to be serious about seeing the reality of my life as it is, and then realizing with each lighting of a candle on the wreath that only Christ's way is the truth for us. Doesn't it take a piece of Brillo to wipe away difficult stains? So don't be afraid, listeners, of this type of cleansing. Invite the Lord to make you clean without spot or blemish and be at peace. And that's written by an anonymous contributor who refuses to allow us to identify him or her.
And but the person writes so beautifully. He does. You say it so well, John.
And we have a saint of the day.
Yes, we do.
And I want to lower this even more.
But today's saint is going to be the Blessed Mother Mary. Simply because Monday, December the 8th, we're going to celebrate the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which, of course, is the remembrance of our belief that Mary was born without sin because she is the mother of our God and our Savior. Because she was given the unique privilege of being the mother of Jesus, Mary has always been considered extremely important amongst us Christians. I think that Mary plays an important role in all our lives. There are several holidays attributable to Mary, but we'll get into that. But who was Mary? She was a teenager, engaged to be married to Joseph, a decent, hardworking guy. Now, as she worked in her mother's kitchen, she started daydreaming about the married life together. They would have their own house there in Nazareth. He'd carry on his business as a carpenter. Things really looked good. Life looked good, although she was a mere young teenager. Then one fine day, the angel turned up. Though Mary had never seen one before, somehow she just knew this was an angel. "Peace be with you," said the angel. Yeah, Mary was terrified. "Don't be afraid," he says. Easier said than done. "The Lord God has blessed you," continued the angel, whose name was, as we all know, Gabriel. "You're going to become pregnant. You'll give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. People will say he's the Son of God. He'll be like a king, and he'll reign forever and ever." Wow, Mary felt weak. How can this be? Joseph and I aren't married. We aren't married yet, and I'm still a virgin. "God's Holy Spirit will come upon you. God will be the father of your child. There's nothing God can't do. Nothing. Do you hear? There's nothing God can't do." And that is what happened. Everything that the angel had said came true. Mary became pregnant. Joseph stood by her. They got married. And when the time came, Mary gave birth to a boy. But not at home in Nazareth, not in a castle, not in a palace. It happened in Bethlehem, a faraway town. But yes, they did name him Jesus. And later she went to the temple to make a thanksgiving for the birth of God's son. Like his foster father, Joseph, Jesus probably became a carpenter. He worked in Nazareth until he became 30. For the next 3 years, he was to travel around the country teaching, healing people who were ill, and doing all kinds of wonderful things, letting people know that God does exist. And whatever he did, Mary was always there for him. When friends were married in a town named Cana, not far from Galilee, both Mary and Jesus were guests. We all know the story. Later, Mary went to Jerusalem with him for what was to be a week before his crucifixion. That week, she suffered. by seeing her own son after he had been beaten and tormented by the Roman soldiers. She had come to watch him drag his heavy cross through the streets of Jerusalem, and she saw him hang on a cross until he died. But when things seemed to be going so terrible, painfully wrong, she always had the secret in her heart. The confidence, the faith, the message brought to her by the angel Gabriel. She had been chosen by God to be the mother of his son in those difficult times. She could remember the words she'd said, just as Gabriel had finished bringing her the news. My soul praises the Lord. My spirit is glad because God, my Redeemer, thought of me, his lowly maid servant, Mary. For now and forever, all people will call me happy because of this great things God has done for me. His name is holy, and his mercy is on all those who love him. So Mary had a wonderful life, but a difficult life.
You know what you did by reading that? You just confirmed all we talked about through the whole show. What happens when you listen to God? What happens when you trust God? What happens when God sends his angel to you to speak to your heart?
And you say, fiat.
And she said, yes, fiat.
And you say, yes.
And she brought forth Jesus. And what he's telling us, when he comes to us in the quiet times of our prayer, we become pregnant with Jesus inside of us, and we're meant to bring it to the world. You just confirmed the whole program with
you're
that
so,
reading.
You're so smart, Palmer.
Well, no, but
You're very wise.
Excuse us while we pat ourselves on the back. I don't know if you're still with us, Mary Ellen, or Mary Ann, or Mary Alice.
We're
or,
two old geezers.
Are you still with us up there?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Didn't that just confirm everything we talked about?
Saying that the whole show
is
just being confirmed is beautiful.
Yes.
But you know, the interesting story about Mary is that she's the quintessential mother. I mean, she's the mother of God, but she wasn't given such an easy life. She saw her husband die. She saw her son suffer and die. She traveled. She tried to escape the king trying to murder Jesus.
And even after she went up to heaven, she's still working. She doesn't get any retirement benefits. She doesn't get anything.
Absolutely.
She just keeps on traveling around the world and doing things. I mean, after
but
a while.
She is our Heavenly Mother.
Yeah.
And she is true Jesus. True Jesus, true Mary.
Yes. And Father, did we speak sacrilege?
John, I would like to sum up some of the things you said, okay?
Sure.
First, God speaks to us powerfully in silence, especially with a clean heart.
Yes.
Therefore, when we come to pray, we want to get silent, and we also want to say and ask contrition. Secondly, God's voice sounds like the spontaneous thought that bubbles into our mind. God describes it as a still, small voice.
Yes.
Third, understand that every thought comes into our mind comes from him. Negative, bitter, angry, selfish, and pure thoughts obviously do not come. These come to the world, the flesh, and the devil. As Mary Alice said, you've got to work through these things to hear God clearly.
Yes.
Well, God wants to us to fix our eyes and heart in Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. This God asks us very often to record the vision and scribe it on tablets, as he said, the tablet. Journaling is a practice of writing out the thoughts so we can meditate upon them and ponder them in our hearts, as Mary did. This God often confirms the messages through Scripture, especially the New Testament. The insights and inspiration that comes to you in prayer, of course, can never contradict the Word of God. Seventh, God speaks to Thomas through the magisterium of the church. Jesus gave to the Pope the infallible prophetic anointing when he said, whatever you bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Eighth, God encourages us to get spiritual directors, someone who can discern with us, or a friend of the Lord. Ninth, God always gives peace to soul when you're hearing his voice. He makes the insight that comes from our mind resonate with the Spirit within us. We call it the witness of the Spirit. And finally, God opens the doors. When God asks us to do something, he will always open the doors to give us the help, the talent that we need. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, Father, because I knew you are our guest today, and I know you're Irish, I picked out a song that we would use at the ending of our program. And it's just for you, Father. And we may end up playing it twice, but that's all right, because the time frame. But this is just for you, Father, because you're Irish. You ready? These are the Irish priests. And this is for you, Father, and blessing you from us for all the wonderful things you do. Than that, Tony. You be an Italian, you don't understand. This is a real corny ending to a radio show.
Father, can you give a brief blessing to our listeners and to our audience? We would be much appreciative.
Listen, discern, and obey the ongoing voice of God. Heavenly Father, you taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless all these listeners, help them to listen to, discern, obey your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you again. Thank you, Father.
Thank you again for being with us. Trevor, we're done.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff,